awareness as we transition from stillness to motion. You can do that by rotating the body from small circle into bigger and bigger circles. Maintain this clear awareness of the changing sensations as the body moves. Watch this very strong urge to let the mind rush off, scatter, completely lose the practice. The formal sitting period may have ended. The practice of cultivating clear awareness can continue. Why do you want to stop having clear awareness just because the body is moving? Opposite direction, maintaining this clear awareness. So this evening's topic is working with lacerating self-judgment. And I think this topic came from, Sumi, did a survey? Did you do a survey? So you co-created the topic, and I just picked the one on the top of the list. And so how many of you experience self-judgment, suffering from self-judgment, lacerating self-judgment sometimes? Mm. It's a popular one, not a popular hobby. Mm. So let's think about what we're talking about. Of course, we all want to be improving at what we do. Continue to get better. So we want to look at what we have done wrong or not so good. That is a part of improving ourselves. When we do that, we can do that by engaging in assessment. We need to be able to distinguish between accurate assessment of our performance versus judgment, self-judgment. Do you think about the difference between the two? They sound the same thing. But actually assessing what we have done involves, it's more nuanced. It's more nuanced. You look at, first you look at what the strengths, what I've done well, what I've done a good job in, and some part is like, oh, I can see like, you know, I didn't do that as well. I could see that I can improve that. And you can see clearly that, oh, I know what I did wrong or what I didn't do so well. Maybe because I didn't prepare very well. Maybe I did not do enough research. It's very clear that, oh, you did this part well, that part, oh, I know exactly where we can improve. And that's very clear and very nuanced. And it's actually, allow us, it's very constructive and helpful. We can see, next time I know what to do. And judgment is not like that, right? Judgment is not nuanced. Judgment is a lot more absolute. It has the quality of exaggerating certain aspects of what happened, especially exaggerating the negative aspect of it. Like that one thing, you did something and there's one part. Maybe you gave a presentation and then there was one part that you couldn't really explain very well, or you completely forgot the point you wanted to make. But you did the rest of the presentation. Doesn't matter. You only think about that one thing. that didn't go well. And we exaggerate it, and it becomes the whole thing. Isn't that how it's like? And then it's completely, the judgment is a distorted view of what we did. And it also has this quality of sounding very absolute. Sounding very absolute. It's like I just can't write. It's like, I can't write anything. If you are struggling with your writing, right? Or I have nothing worthwhile to say. Or I have nothing interesting. I have no good idea. Does it sound familiar? Or it's like, right, I always screwed up. Always screw this up. I never get anything right. Never get anything right. Or everyone hates me. Everyone hates me. Nobody likes me. Do you see the commonality between these? The absolute, like the nobody, the everyone, all the time, never, always. Always? No one? Really? No one likes you? You never did anything right? How do you end up here? But never mind, we really, really believe that. We dwell on that. And so the one reason I want to mention that is to help us cultivate awareness of what am I doing? Am I engaging in some assessment of my performance? Or am I engaging in this habit of self-judgment? Recognizing these qualities. And as you can see, it is not offering you a clear view of what you did. It's a very highly distorted view, exaggerating certain aspects of what you did. And of course, it blocks you from actually being able to improve on what you did. Because you can't see what you did well, and you exaggerated what went wrong. And of course, whatever you end up doing to try to improve it will be not quite appropriate. You might end up overcompensating for something because you exaggerated something, what you did wrong. Or maybe you end up becoming completely paralyzed by it. I can never do this, I can't write. Then you don't write, and that assignment doesn't get done. And then now it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like, see, told you, I can't write. You didn't get a good grade on it. So we become a self-fulfilling prophecy. And so you can see how it is clearly not a helpful habit. And of course, it is suffering when we feel that we can feel very helpless. It's maybe a lot of fear. Feel like we can't do anything. We're very afraid that I actually don't have the ability I think I have. I don't think I can succeed. It's an extremely scary feeling. I'm feeling very alone. When you believe in that, you will kind of feel like maybe I can't let anyone know that I can't do any of this. Become very lonely and all this suffering. And you can see it is actually caused by what we call erroneous view. Having an erroneous view of what happened, a distorted view of the reality of what we did. And and that erroneous view came from our forgetting that everything is conditioned, co-arising, that reality is a lot more nuanced than the absoluteness, the black and white that we characterize it with. And also, this habit of forgetting that everything is conditioned, co-arising, lead us to reify certain moments of what we did. For example, going back to the presentation, It's like, oh, there's that moment that you forgot this point that you were going to make. You did a good job, the whole presentation, but that moment. And so that's something, that moment, that happened, that moment. Yeah, you did forget something. It did happen. But then it's past. You did a fairly good job in the moments before. You did okay after. But we had this tendency to turn that moment into a frozen thing, and now it becomes who you are. You reify you, yourself, by using a particular moment of your existence. And that is forgetting that who we are is actually constantly changing, the coming together of many causes and conditions. Did that moment happen? Oh yes, it did. But that was not the only thing that happened. That does not define your entire being. But when we allow it to become the essence of who we are, I'm stupid, I cannot write. That's it, there's nothing else about me. Then you're discounting, dismissing all other moments of your life. That is itself an erroneous view. And the adjective lacerating. Sumi said, why don't we add that to the title? So it's interesting, right? So we're not talking about just judgment. What are we talking about, lacerating judgment? Anyone want to describe it for us? How does it feel like when it's not just regular judgment, it's lacerating? How does it feel like? Does it feel, is this voice that's repetitive? It's like, you're so stupid. You just can't do this. You're just so stupid. What's wrong with you? It just go on and on and on. Not just like, oh wow, that was really dumb. It's not just that. It's like, I can't believe you're so dumb. You're so dumb. How stupid are you? It's repetitive. It's repetitive. It's just like not enough just to really judge oneself once. Go on and on. So it reminds me of that visual that Sumi put together for this event, that like all those fingers, it's not enough, they're just giant finger pointing at you, judging you. It's like that multiple is like over and over and over again, the same judgment, but maybe in slightly different words, just on and on, repetitive. And also it has it's a very harsh self-judgment. Is not only exaggerating a negative aspect of what happened, but maybe using extremely harsh language. Extremely harsh language. So that's the experience of lacerating self-judgment. And so I want to bring this to our attention so that it's like, oh, this is what's happening. So it's not just regular old self-judgment. It's like I'm doing this even more destructive. Kind of self-judgment. And you can see what it is that we are falling into the habit of compulsively giving rise to some form of hatred and aversion. It's like, okay, there's a person who made a mistake here, and instead of recognizing, oh, okay, that, you know, I made a mistake there, it's like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? That doesn't sound like a very compassionate thing to do. Would we do that to someone else? Well, we are doing it to ourselves. And we somehow develop a habit, not a habit of giving rise to this hatred directed at ourselves. Not just a habit of hatred occasionally, but compulsively. We can't stop it. We have to keep doing it. Recognizing this as a habit is really important. That means we can unlearn it. unlearn it. You may feel a little bit like a kind of habit that's a little compulsive or addictive. For whatever reason, we're addicted to it. It makes us feel, maybe validate whatever idea we have. But like any addiction, we can unlearn it. Any habits, we can unlearn it. And I'd like to talk about how we can go about it by engaging in chan practice. You had a little bit taste of it in that meditation session just now. Cultivating this clear awareness of what's going on in the emerging present moment. Moment after moment after moment. That's why I emphasize cultivating this wakeful, relaxed, clear awareness. It's not talking about creating a certain mind state. It's not talking about being here like all blissful, like I just feel so blissful all the time. It's not talking about that. It's just being clear, being wakeful, allowing whatever that is arising in the moment, like I mentioned, the thoughts coming through, allowing it to be here. Allowing it to take its course, allowing it to go away. We somehow find it quite difficult. We need to mess around, meddle with the present moment. We want to fix it in the way we think it's supposed to be. But with practice, we can learn to relax into our body and mind in the unfolding present moment and allow the body to breathe on its own, thoughts to come through the mind and go away. And not a problem. When we don't practice like that, everything is a problem. Have you been in meditation? You sit there, it's like, I'm breathing too quickly. My breathing is too shallow. And my body is not relaxed enough. I'm not relaxed enough. I'm trying really hard to relax. Have you done that? And you get more, do you get more relaxed or less relaxed by trying so hard? It's very counterintuitive. Chan practice is very counterintuitive. But we have been conditioned to try harder, do more. So when we keep in mind how to engage in chan practice, moment after moment, stay with what's going on. First thing we can do is that we can cultivate this clear awareness of what's going on when we are experiencing this lacerating self-judgment. It comes in these voices, right? What's wrong with you? You can never do this. You're always screwed up. You're no good. Okay, these are the words, these voices. Whose voice? Whose voice that? And you can become aware of, actually, maybe you are taking someone's voice in your life who had judged you in a certain way. And you are inflicting it on you. That person doesn't need to be in the room anymore. It may be a parent, it may be a teacher, it may be someone who had been mean and very harsh to you. It may even be the voice of someone judging someone else very harshly, and that made you being very afraid of being the person that judgment is being directed at. You're hearing that voice. Somebody making a harsh judgment. So by cultivating this clear awareness, you can see, I am internalizing someone's harshness, someone's judgment here. And also, maybe I'm automatically validating that judgment. But why? Why do we do that? Maybe they're wrong. Maybe that's not true. So giving ourselves the space to see, to hear what this voice is. And maybe you can also see how we are reacting to it. Maybe it has to do with a certain experience that's very traumatizing. We feel very helpless, we feel very humiliated, very ashamed, whatever it is in the experience that left a deep imprint in us. And it becomes this habit, we just automatically go there. It feels like it, at least. So we call that a reactivity. And also, when we are aware of the rise of the habit of self-hatred. Now, if you have ever Googled self-judgment, you will probably notice, yes, what's the solution? The solution is self-acceptance. You have done that. So that sort of in our mind may imply that the self-judgment is something you want to get rid of. Watch for the habits of giving rise to the aversion to our self-judgment. Like, oh, this is bad. I now want to get rid of it now. So, okay, so first we have self-judgment. Like now it's like, what's wrong with you? Judge, hatred to ourselves. Well, that's not what I'm supposed to do. Now I really want to get rid of this self-judgment. More hatred, more aversion. If we are not aware of what we are giving rise to in our mind, we think we are doing something positive, but we are just perpetuating this habit of giving rise to aversion. Aversion is aversion. It may have different targets, yourself, the self-judgment, but that's aversion. Why do I want to emphasize this? That is a very important point in the Buddha's teaching. The habit of giving rise to aversion is one of the primary poisons of the mind that causes our suffering. We believe the self-judgment is causing our suffering. It is our aversion to it that causes more suffering. And when we respond to self-judgment with more hatred, more aversion, what we're doing is just creating more energy of aversion in our mind. In the Dhamma, we talk about this action of fumigating. We're just like stinking up the mind, the room, with more aversion. And so everything that comes through will just be polluted with it. And so we're just even more susceptible to responding to everything with aversion. So, but aversion is something that we give rise to. So we can at least not give rise to aversion to our self-judgment. Be very aware of that. And self-acceptance. So very often, along with giving rise to aversion to self-judgment, is like, I should accept myself. I should not judge myself. You hear the should? You're shooting yourself. The should. More judgment. You see, like the same habit. Like, you just did something, you're engaging self-judgment. Oh, now you're judging yourself for judging yourself. And you're judging yourself for not being accepting of yourself. I should accept myself. And now, like, whatever, basically, what's going on is, whatever is happening in the present moment is not okay. I should be more accepting of myself. I should not be doing whatever it is that's self-judgment. And that is the definition of suffering. That is suffering. Whatever is happening right now, I don't want it. Aversion. I want something else. Craving. What do I crave now? Self-acceptance. I'm craving self-acceptance. Suffering. The craving is causing the suffering. It is not the lack of self-acceptance, whatever you think it is. And of course, when you're craving self-acceptance, you probably create in your mind what that looks like. Maybe it looks like, like feeling the opposite about myself, or telling yourself that all the things that the self-judgment voice is saying, it's not true, arguing with it. So like telling yourself that, like, no one likes me. No, people like me. I know actually people like me. Whatever it is you're doing to argue with it. So when you do that, you're arguing. You might feel the urge to fight against this habit, the voice that's self-judgment, fighting against it. You want to crush it, silence it. No, I'm not that. You might have tried. But when you're doing that, what you're doing is you are agitating your mind. You're doing this. You're fighting a war in your mind. Agitating instead of allowing the mind to be settled and clear. When the mind is agitated, it's confused, it's not clear. When we are not clear, we're confused. It creates more anxiety or fear. Definitely make us a lot more susceptible to falling into our usual habits. Maybe judgment, maybe resentment, whatever other destructive habits you have collected. Instead of being here, being clearly aware. So you're like, okay, not trying to go for self-acceptance and not trying to get rid of the self-judgment, then what should I do, you know? Just allow it. Allow whatever is happening. The voice may be kind of mean, harsh, repetitive. Allow it to be there. Like what you just did in your meditation. Whatever thought comes through, allow it to be there instead of trying to fight it away, crush it away. And by doing that, you actually allow the mind to be more relaxed. You're not creating additional agitation and tension. And when you allow the mind to relax, to settle down, you actually can cultivate more clarity. And you can also allow yourself to open up your awareness. Then you feel the space to open the mind into this total awareness. Total awareness is awareness where you allow yourself to be aware of everything that's here. Everything. Now, remember a self-judgment, what is it? The lacerating self-judgment is the negative voices, exaggerated version of negative thing that happened, and also repetitive. So it's drowning out everything else that's going on. When we allow the awareness to be open, then you actually allow yourself to notice other aspects of the present moment that is not that repetitive, harsh voice that is this self-judgment. You can actually notice, oh, I'm sitting here. My heart is beating. Thank goodness I'm alive. If you're outside, it's a nice day, you may be able to see, wow, blue sky. That was completely outside your awareness. You can see people who might be smiling at you. You might notice feelings of gratitude and joy. when you connect with these other aspects of the present moment that you didn't think was there. And is that voice of self-judgment still there? Maybe, likely, because it's pretty persistent. So here we're not talking about going to look at the sky to forget about the self-judgment. If that works, sometimes it works, but if it's lacerating self-judgment, it's a little bit more persistent. So what we are doing here is when we cultivate this total awareness, we are allowing all these nuanced, subtle aspects of the present moment to be here, to coexist. This self-hatred, this habit of self-judgment is arising, yeah. I'm also here breathing, and I'm also feeling this joy of being in this space. All these. So, like the visual thing that Sumi put together, that will be, you still see this person with all this finger pointing at that person, which is your feeling of self-judgment. That will be just one of the many pieces of the mosaic of the present moment. You see yourself feeling joy, looking at the sky. You see yourself feeling loved by your friend. You see yourself getting a little confused about what's going on, all that. And that is actually a much more accurate view of what is actually going on, the present moment, not a completely distorted view. Clear awareness. So you can see that maybe the self-judgment, the suffering from the self-judgment is still there, but it becomes a much smaller part of the present moment experience. And it would not be nearly as dominating, triggering. Then you may give yourself some space to remember how to practice, to be with it, to use your practice to unlearn this habit. How do you unlearn a habit? Unlearn a habit starts with making friends with it. Our usual thing is to turn it into our enemy. Hate it, I hate my self-judgment, I hate it, I don't want it, I want it to go away. It does not eliminate it, it doesn't make it go away. If you make it, you're just giving it more power over you. You're just giving it more power over you. When I say make friends with it, it means make peace with it. Stop the war. When it comes, no problem. The voice shows up, no problem. But what we do is to maintain this clear awareness so that we become very, very, very familiar with how it arises. Because we call what we call self-judgment, it is actually a long chain of thoughts and feelings that we habitually react to. The first thought arises, we habitually respond with the next thought, and then the next thought, and the feeling, fear, another thought, anger, another thought, goes on and on and on. And a habit is a patterned chain of thoughts and feelings. What I mean by becoming very familiar with it is to become very familiar with how it shows up when it's triggered, and then the next thought. And what do we think? And then how do we believe it? How do we buy into it? And when we buy into it, the next thing is like, oh, I must be this. Whatever thing we think. And so when we become very clear, very familiar with this chain, that is when you have the opportunity to unlearn this habit. Anytime during the chain, any part of it, you can choose not to perpetuate. You can choose, okay, I can see that I totally believe that I'm no good. Okay, I don't need to give rise to the next thought that I usually do. I don't need to give rise to this hatred towards myself that I usually do. In the beginning, we are likely to allow it to go all the way, or 95% of the way. As we practice and become more familiar with it, we'll see it happen, maybe 50% of the way. We catch it, oh, okay, I can see it, I don't need to keep doing this. And the more we practice, the earlier we catch it, the earlier we start perpetuating the chain of thought. And that is how, through practice, we can unlearn this self-destructive habit. And in the process, we become more familiar with how our mind works. And we may actually gain some insight about how other habits are perpetuated. It may not be just self-judgment, it may be other things. And so that is how we can work with lacerating self-judgment, with chan practice. It's not giving rise to hatred, aversion to it, not craving for self-acceptance in a hurry, trying to forcing ourselves to think and believe something different. It doesn't work. We know it. But by cultivating this clear awareness of how our mind unfolds moment after moment, then we can unlearn the destructive habit. And we learn through the process, we can be more compassionate to ourselves. Because by not causing ourselves suffering, we are engaging in the cultivation of compassion and wisdom. I hope this will give you some food for thought and how some clarity on how to make use of the practice to work with self-judgment, and give you some idea of what it is that you are doing in your meditation. It's not just you're sitting there and then making your mind calm, but you're actually learning how to cultivate clear awareness. Thank you for being here.